Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, everybody, to another week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And my name is Rich.
We also have another guest in the studio. Say hi.
Hi.
Your name is?
Dara.
So you catch on. We all three did it, so you got to do it, too. All right, so we've also got Dara in the studio, a friend of mine. You guys know if you listen to the show a lot that I like to get people in who don't really play video games a lot, introduce them to video games, and...
Also, people whose names are much reminiscent of my name.
That, too. Actually, we have a whole sequence of that. It used to be like Alon and Don, and Lon and Sean, and we had a whole thing going.
Yeah.
No Rons,
so,
though.
So now they used to rhyme with your name, now they rhyme with mine.
Yeah, and that's fine. Although she's Dara, not Dara, right?
I could be Dara.
All right, good. Today she's Dara. So anyway, I like to get people in who haven't played games before, introduce them to some games, and gauge their reactions, and see perhaps you know, what they liked, didn't like, how you might be able to introduce them to other things. So we'll get to that later. There's a few things we want to talk about first. What have we been playing lately? Mostly, three of us have been playing Guitar Hero 3, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what else I've been playing.
Project Gotham Racing 4.
Yeah, can't get enough of that Gotham.
Yeah, I know. So I want to talk about that a bit. Later, there's also a great, well, I don't know how great the article is, but thought-provoking, in my opinion, article in the newest Game Informer magazine talking about new intellectual property from the various big-name companies.
Indeed.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that. Also want to talk to Dara about a few things, and we got some listener mail as well, as we try to do every week, if you're kind enough to email us.
We've been getting a lot of mail lately.
Well, a lot of better mail than usual.
That's although, true. We've had to purchase a whole new, like, postal bag and everything.
Yeah, admittedly, a lot of you still don't have a strong grasp of the English language, and it's very difficult to interpret your mail on the fly while I read it to our listeners, because I don't know if grammar goes out the window when you play video games or something, but...
But hey, it's all the more entertainment for us,
there's
so...
There's quite possibly a connection. Also, if you want to check out our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, feel free to do so. We're actually trying to be in the chat rooms. Rich, are you there now?
Yes, I am. Apparently, okay. The live stream on... It's not working, so all the MRC people are complaining about it.
Very nice. Thanks for letting me know after the show starts.
Yep.
Well done, folks.
I'm just saying.
All right, if you want to call in and talk to us during the show, it's 866-536-1100. We take calls all the time, even though we might only talk to you during the second half. Feel free to call in and line up. All right, so Guitar Hero 3. We got it. We got to play this weekend. And
yes.
I talked to a friend today who said he heard the PS2 version sucked. And we were playing the PS2 version.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it seemed pretty much the
same
to me.
Maybe it's not as good as the 360 version, but...
Have you seen the 360 version?
No.
Much better.
Much yeah. better?
Much.
I don't know how it could be
how
that
could it
much
be
better.
Much? I mean, it was
it's
pretty polished.
Up.
I mean, for PS2...
I know. Well, see, that's the thing. PS2 is just fine. PS3...
But, like,
the
guitar is pretty much the same on the 360, though. So it's like...
Well, forget the guitar part, just the game.
Okay.
It's just... It looks so much cleaner. It's like looking through glass instead of, I don't know, stained glass.
I actually had that reaction to... you know, seeing number 3 on the PS2 compared to the previous
really?
Game, yeah. I was like, wow, this looks a lot sharper.
Well, the graphics on the home row, the button bar, whatever,
yeah.
are a little bit cleaner. But we had a good time with it. I was actually surprised because after Guitar Hero 80s came out, it kind of it was a letdown.
Yeah.
And so we enjoyed it. We played a lot. Now, what bugs me is that Rich and I played co-op career for quite a while. We unlocked a lot of stuff. But
yeah, we did.
We were playing an expert. It turned out to be a little bit difficult. We got to the point... It's not that we gave up, because I don't think we gave up, but we got to the point where it was very difficult, and time ran out, and so I want to play at least on hard so I can unlock all the songs, right? But then we start playing co-op on hard. You got to start all the way over again. Start with all the songs. Then I'm like, oh, okay, well, we played co-op hard. No, now I got to play single-player hard. So I've got all these three different games running at the same time, and I'm still not unlocking all the damn songs. And, well, that's frustrating to me.
But you guys think that they're making the hardest songs harder? With each successive iteration?
I think what they're doing is adding a lot of just unreasonable note charts in, where they just they scream all over the place, up and down the fret bar, and multiple. It's just, they're getting silly in order to get difficult.
Yeah, because I noticed that there's a funny similar thing that happens with Konami's music games out in Japan.
Yeah, Beatmania got a little bit ridiculous.
Where they have it is ridiculous now. Yeah, so they have 40 iterations of them, right? So the weird thing is that they have, since it's such a niche game, since the market for it is so small and so I don't know, let's say dedicated.
Are we talking specifically about Beatmania or about all their music games?
Well, pretty much all their music games, but Beatmania is the longest running one, so we can just kind of.
I just wouldn't say that the audience for DDR is particularly small anymore.
No, you're right. But even still, it's kind of happened with all of them. They've basically, they've made it so hard now that, to even, play at a level of competency is, even just completely beyond, my skill. One of my friends at work, he was like, oh, I have, the new, Beatmania or whatever. I'm like, man, yeah, I haven't played that game in years because it just got too hard for me. And he's like, you want to borrow it? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll borrow it. And I'll play it, right? And I'm playing, the easy, easy stuff. I'm just totally incompetent. I can't play it at all. I mean, they've,
That's just because we've got old. We've become old.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be more than willing to accept that because, I have to, put up post-its all around my home to remember to do things. But there's plenty of other games that I'm just, perfectly... butt kicking at. But this game, if you haven't played along, right, with basically every single iteration, if you haven't been playing the whole time, in other words, you're just hosed.
Well, if you're playing on the expert level, yeah, and we have a tendency to do that. But Guitar Hero, the thing is, it's got a lot of I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, a lot of leniency in pressing the buttons. I can press the button at the wrong time and it still allows it to activate. It goes ahead and plays the note. And if you're going to do that, you can't put 50 notes together real fast.
That's really interesting. I kind of got that sense too, but it wasn't really enough for me to actually vocalize anything about it.
Well, I'm wondering if perhaps during those expert charts, if they crank down the leniency in the button pressing.
Well, they have to do something.
You're much more spot on.
Right? I mean, because if there's two notes running together, then...
I did notice that when I just jammed on all the buttons in a situation like that.
Yeah.
I was hitting a lot more than I would have expected.
Okay, so when in doubt, jam on all the buttons.
That's apparently what you have to do. But I don't know. I've got to play a little bit more in note charts like that, but I don't know. Part of it seemed easier, part of it seemed harder. I just don't like how they go for crazy in order to make it difficult. Although, there's also a lot of stuff they did that wasn't just crazy, it was good.
Yeah, and there were good songs.
I'm not faulting them. It was very good. It's a great mix of songs.
Couple good songs.
With it. But you don't even play Guitar Hero 3 anymore because you're just busy playing Hannah Montana.
I was playing a little bit.
So tell me about, we've got 2 minutes. Tell our wonderful audience about this game that we've discussed before.
It's actually not completely bad. It's
Well, we had said before at E3.
Not completely bad?
All right.
Before the show, you were playing it I don't know, it was BioShock 70 or something.
You have to go through this weird adventure mode to play songs, but then once you get to the song, it's actually kind of cool. I mean, there's rhythm, guitar, there's bass, and then there's lead, and then there's a drum set that you can play on. I haven't gotten to the drum set yet, but...
What's involved in adventure mode, Rich?
I have to talk to people. And
you have to walk around and find a guitar laying
in the
street?
I went to the mall. And then I went ice skating, and then I went back to the house and played guitar.
Wait, I saw your house that you were walking around in. There's there's a closet
it's
there.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
and there's I can change clothes in the closet.
And there's a Hannah Montana's a spoiled little.
So this game started. We saw it at E3 for the first time. I didn't, but Rich, I believe, saw it or heard people talking about it.
Yes,
saying,
I heard.
Wow, things. This game was actually good. And then rumor had it, or at least according to us, that. A lot of people thought it was good and decided, hey, let's take the Hannah Montana out of it and just sell a cool game. And now apparently it's been released, or Rich got his hands on a copy early or something. I don't know what you're doing with it, but I guess they didn't take the Hannah Montana out, which I think might just limit its audience.
Yeah.
Maybe... People get so excited about that crappy guitar simulation that came out recently that's impossible to play.
Yeah.
If they had released this without Hannah Montana on it, they would have done a lot better. But I wonder if they're going to do both.
Maybe.
As I point to Rich mysteriously.
Maybe.
All right, we're going to go to break. After that, we'll talk a bit about that article I saw on Game Informer, the new intellectual property. Feel free to give us a call at 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Rich, Alon, and that's me, Ara.
That's you.
That's me.
We've also got Dara.
And Dara.
And you know what's great?
Which is kind of like me, but with an extra letter.
Our live stream is back up and working now, although if our listeners aren't listening live, they can't hear me say that.
We could always go back in time and then tell them telepathically.
Whatever. Anyway, it's working, so maybe we can get on the live chat and let them know.
Although I do see
that the
phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree.
We do apparently have a caller. Before we get to him, though, want to remind everyone to go over to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. Of course, a wonderful sponsor of ours and Rich's alma mater, although I don't know if that's the appropriate word since he's currently going there.
Let's see.
Rich, you went to school somewhere else first, right?
Yeah, in Illinois.
Was it anywhere as cool as UAT?
Sure.
We're pandering. Let's move on. All right, so, well, do we want to talk about the IP or just take the call?
Yeah, I think we should take the call.
Let's talk to Edgar. Do we have the people running the phones or do I have to do it?
Press some buttons.
I'm going to... All right, we got Edgar.
We got a professional show going on here.
Hey, Alon. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Edgar?
Hey, well, I actually couldn't listen to the stream, so I actually don't know what you guys are currently talking about.
Well, Edgar, are you getting enough oxygen?
Well, I got a question for Ara as far as getting into the game industry.
Okay, after that, I'm going to have a question for you. You think you can handle that?
Sure, I'll give it a shot.
We cover this topic often. So, yeah. All right, let's go for it.
All right, let's do it.
That's a good question. Well, because you always say, you know, if I want to get it, say, into the industry as a programmer, stop what I'm doing and start programming.
Yeah.
But, I don't think we ever said stop what you're doing.
No, I said stop what you're doing. Yeah, I have said that, yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, actually, I started a game a couple of days ago. About 2 months ago, but it's a Flash game, so it's not a full-blown DirectX, OpenGL, or anything like that.
Right. Well, that's cool.
Who cares?
That's cool.
All right. So, you know, say if I do this Flash game, and then I go to some big game company or some small studio and say, hey, I want to be a programmer.
Right.
Is that kind of like enough to get in there, or should I still dwell into DirectX and OpenGL and all these other stuff that seems like the thing in the industry right now?
Well, I'm ripe with response, but you go right ahead first.
Okay. Well, the main thing is that, you know, if, there's all different kinds of programmers, right? So it's like, if, you know, you're really good at, let's say, like, doing, what's the thing called? Like Lingo or whatever, or,
is that scripting language?
I don't know. Some kind of like whatever the scripting language for the Flash is.
Flash.
All right, Flash or whatever. See, you know, obviously I know a lot about that. So then, like, I mean, if they're looking for a Flash programmer and you show them work and it's like, you know, if it's really, really good representation of some kind of Flash game that you program, then, you know, that would be a good match. But on the other hand, if they're looking for like a C++ programmer or something, then they'll probably ignore you.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, what you bring to them, and I've compared to the entertainment industry a lot. So you have to bring them something or bring something to the table, which is what they're looking for. So if you're building a Flash game, then yeah, that's great for people who make web games in Flash, right? But if you make a Flash game and you bring it to a company wanting to be a programmer and they make, you know, full console games, it's going to be relatively useless.
Yeah.
However,
I would have to say real quick that, you know, if you're looking for like a general programming gig, Flash will probably not cut it. Wow, did he leave?
No one even. All right, we're answering.
Hello?
You can listen.
Hey,
to
I'm right here.
Yes,
all right.
And he's back.
All right. Anyway, all
right. So if you guys can hear, I just want to plug in my game real quick, if I can.
Go right ahead.
So it's ultimatecheckers.com, and it's on open beta right now. So I'm just trying to get users and trying to build it up. And
all right. Well, we're sorry we lost the phone line for a minute. But what we were saying before was, if you're actually wanting to get into the industry, making the Flash game and bringing it to a big company that doesn't program in Flash isn't going to be terribly helpful. But it may actually be useful in terms of game design, because regardless of how you build the game, your design still shows through. But you don't want to bring a Flash game and try to get a programming job unless the company you're going to is programming in Flash.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to get a gig doing something, you know, just do that for free for yourself for a while, and if it's good enough, you know, and if you're conscientious enough, you'll get noticed.
All right. Well, we lost Edgar again. Looks like the changes they're making in the room over there are really.
Man, I so wanted to ask him if he had any superpowers.
I don't know. Let's move on though. Apparently the phone system isn't fantastic tonight.
All right. So I know that there's this magazine article that you've been all enamored with, right?
Yeah. So the current issue of Game Informer has this whole thing about what they called that new IP smell. The point is that a lot of companies that out there, namely Microsoft, Electronic Arts, or EA Games, Ubisoft, LucasArts, Nintendo, Capcom, the big ones that you hear us talk about all the time, they over time produce a whole slew of games. However, only a fine fraction of those are new intellectual property. So, like new characters, for instance, Beyond Good and Evil, right? Game by Ubisoft.
That game was awesome,
by the way. Yeah, it wasn't based on any previous intellectual property. Halo 3, based on Halo 1 and 2. So, the whole point is that these companies produce a whole bunch of games, and there's this idea in the industry now that innovation is really necessary to sort of kickstart it, because we've got all these sequels out there. And I agree with that. We do have tons of sequels, and it's getting kind of boring.
A little bit, but I don't think that's necessarily bad. I just think the bad sequels are bad.
Well, also, one problem with the sequels is usually you're presenting the same gameplay. Whereas actually back in the day, you might recall a whole bunch of Nintendo games, when they had a successful game initially, the second game in the series was drastically different from the first. I would use Super Mario as an example, if we can forget the Lost Levels is the true sequel, right? Mario 2 released to America was a totally different game. Zelda was, certain styles. Zelda 2, totally different. Castlevania, great game. Second game, totally different. Just released on the Wii Virtual Console, by the way.
That's true. You know what? I got to interject that, one of the reasons why you used to see a lot more of that and you don't see so much of it now.
Innovation, you mean?
Is, well, I mean.
Or change?
Yeah, well, between sequels, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Is not so much that because, people aren't interested in being creative or whatever. I mean, maybe they are, at least tacitly, but the thing is that it takes so many resources to get a game going to the level that, people expect it these days, that a lot of developers basically they build, these first games, right, with the expectation that in order to, for them to actually make money, in order for this idea to be profitable, they have to make a couple games out of it, right? Or more than a couple games out of it.
Like a trilogy.
So, right. So, if you just do one game, right, you have to invest so much in, a new engine, in new, middleware, or new, I don't know what you have.
Well, that certainly made it more difficult, I think.
All this other stuff, right? Basically, back then, whatever. A game could come out, every year or something. And now, we have to still, have the same more or less timelines of the development cycle, although kind of getting longer, so the pressure's going up, right? But you can't, you can't take 3 years or 4 years on a game. I mean, so yeah, some games do that, and it's a nice luxury to have, but a lot of companies feel like they can't. And so in order to do that, instead of taking 4 years, they take 2 years, make kind of a crappy game, right? And then the
or
other
just
2 years...
Or a copy of the previous game.
Well, and then they take the other 2 years, and they refine what they did the first time, I mean, it doesn't have to be crappy from the start, but... Castlevania was a good example of that, the new Castlevanias. They made that other game, Nanobreaker, which was actually, based on the same engine. So they basically have this engine that they start out with, and then they're trying to, basically get as much mileage out of it as possible.
Yeah, and the problem is, though, now we don't... All the games that are introduced to the market are going to be sequels or flops.
Well, yes, it's definitely... going in that direction.
Yeah. Well, it's tougher to find a good game, right? And so that's, I think, what this article is trying to get at, that how many new IPs have come out from these various companies, and then, how many of them are actually any good? And it was actually surprising, because I've never done this count in my head, but apparently Nintendo had fewer than Microsoft, and far fewer than Sony. And I think Sony just got the right collection of companies. I don't know if they gave basically the decision, or made the decision, I want you guys to all make new games. But apparently, in the period of between 2002 and now, according to this at least, there are 36 new intellectual properties that name stuff like Shadow of Colossus, Heavenly Sword, Ugh, Mark of Kree. Mark of Kree had a sequel anyway. But all these different games, unfortunately, I think a lot of them probably sucked. But Microsoft had a certain number of them, and of course, they were also several of them bad, but several good as well. But I would have expected Microsoft to have fewer than Nintendo, and same with Sony.
Well, I don't think that's so surprising because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, the games that are published under Sony and Microsoft, each individually, I mean, they have more, like, studios under their arms, as it were, than I think Nintendo does.
Actually, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. What's interesting, too, is it counts Excite Trek as a new IP, which it's not.
I could go either
way. I would argue it. Anyway, I think we should talk a little bit more about this later, but I do want to get to Dara and her gaming experience for the show, so we'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio again with Alon.
And Dara.
And Rich. All right. Dara.
That was fantastically orchestrated, guys.
Wasn't that? All right. So before the show started, we had Dara come over to the studio. She trudged along. Supposed to be here last week, by the way.
I was.
Excuse after excuse prevented you. But finally.
I was held up at gunpoint.
Dragged you in by your hair, I think. And I sat you down and had you play a few games. Now, you wanted to play The Simpsons on the Xbox 360 or, well, on anything.
That right? is true.
And I denied that, basically, because I didn't want to bring it into the studio, and it would have just taken time to download. So forget that. But I did introduce three games to her. Pack Picks, which is as strange yet playable a game as I could imagine. Elite Beat Agents, a personal favorite, and New Super Mario Brothers. So I'm curious, and we played them in that order. Well, you played them in that order.
I did.
When I told you that you're going to come in here and play video games, first of all, what were you thinking there?
I was kind of intrigued and kind of worried at the same time because I haven't played a video game in about 15 years.
When you were playing video games 15 or 20 years ago, did you play them a lot?
I did. I was obsessed with the original Mario Brothers. Obsessed.
When you say original Super Mario Brothers, you like
the
one on
Nintendo.
All right. So not Mario Brothers, but Super Mario Brothers.
I would imagine.
Okay. So you didn't even know there was a difference?
I'm not as technical as you are.
Okay. That's fine. But you haven't played games in like 15 years now. So this is a bit of a reintroduction, but you did play them a lot before.
Quite a bit.
All right. So first of all, giving you the DS, the Nintendo DS, which is the one with the touchscreen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different than the games you were used to. And it looked like you were having a hard time even just getting through the menus.
Well, at first I thought I had to read every single word of the introduction to the Pack Picks in order to be able to play it, and it took me about 5 seconds to realize things were going on the touchscreen as well as on the video screen because I wasn't used to having a touchscreen. But once I realized I could either advance forward or totally ignore the instructions like I like to do, I was fine.
And I'm trying to gather your impression of the Pack Picks game because I don't even know what my impression is, so it's hard to ask about it.
I'm not really sure what the point of the game was, but yet it was somehow very soothing, and I like drawing pictures.
All right. Have you played this game?
Unfortunately, I have not.
All right, so this is the game we're like...
Although I'm intrigued by any game described as being soothing.
Is it anything like Pac-Man or not?
Yeah, there's ghosts on the screen, and you draw...
Because I haven't played it.
Are you kidding me? You draw the Pac-Man, and then he appears on the screen.
And then he eats the ghosts.
Yeah, it was based on the tech demo that they had for the DS, and they decided to release it as a full game.
Okay.
Anyway, needless to say, that game didn't go over terribly well, and I think simply because there wasn't a whole lot going on.
It's not very challenging. I think I got one of the higher scores in the machine, and I'd never seen it before, and I didn't read the instructions clearly.
Dude, she totally broke your high score, man.
She was also drawing giant Pac-Men
and
ate all the ghosts on one screen.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean, why draw a small Pac-Man when you can draw a large Pac-Man?
And he still did the job.
All right, fine. So then we moved on to Elite Beat Agents. Now, this is a different game. Have you played a music rhythm game before?
Never.
I'm actually surprised that you laid that on her because that's one pretty effing hardcore game.
Well, only when you go to difficult levels.
Yeah. I had the first time I played that, I actually had a lot of trouble, but I'll let Dara take it away.
So I thought I wanted some music rhythm, and people have different flavors, right? Different tastes, different styles.
Right.
So maybe you'd be into this. Have you played a music rhythm game before?
I never have.
All right, and so what was your impression of this game when you first tried it?
Well, given I read no instructions, I wasn't sure. I was equating the fact that things burst on the screen and had a target that I was supposed to hit them as quickly as possible. Whoa, microphone in my face.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You got to stay close to the mic.
I thought I was supposed to hit the targets as quickly as possible rather than hit them on the beat. So I kept trying to hit the target as it opened up 1, 2, 3 in the right order rather than realizing that there was a beat I was supposed to be coordinating with.
Well, that's very interesting, isn't it?
Sort of. What I'm worried about is I don't remember if the fact that I'd played it and had a save game on there prevented a tutorial from running. I don't think there is a tutorial.
I think there was. I mean, when you first booted
up. If you go to the tutorial area.
I don't know.
I don't think you have to plow through one.
You might.
And that might have prevented. But as soon as I showed you how to play.
By then I'd lost interest, kind of.
All right. So these first two games didn't care too much about. And this is really the point that I've been leading to.
So thumbs down so far. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, we tried two totally different games. One music rhythm, never seen a music rhythm game before. One pack picks, I don't even know what category of game that would fit into.
Stuff.
Drawing, ghost
drawing.
Simulation.
Drawing. That's like
DS drawing game.
I think it's for little kids and car trips.
That's funny. It's like how Konami would like label their genres for a long time. I think they still do, at least in Japan. When a game comes out, right at the bottom it says the genre. But they got to the point where it was like pretty much a different genre for every game. So you get like, you know, family style role playing, you know, like stuff like that. It's like, what's a genre now? Every game is a different genre.
Lifeboat cotton candy simulation.
Yes, this is what I'm getting at here. They would write stuff like that down. It's like, well, what's the point of that?
Well, then I thought, I bet at some point in time, Dara has played a Mario game, as she's confirmed on the show now. So I gave her New Super Mario Brothers because it's very much like the original. Now, I noticed your reaction was a little bit different with this game.
I loved it.
And you played this game for quite a while.
I didn't want to give it back.
Right. And actually, she's been eyeing the DS on the console here for quite a while. And she's got this crazy smile on her face thinking about this game. So I'm curious if the reason you liked the game was solely, you know, based on nostalgia.
Some of it was. When I looked at it, it was familiar to me, and I immediately knew how to play it. So that was part of it. But the game is just plain fun. You get to jump on snails and kick things and crouch down and break through the floor and do all sorts of different interactive things. Every screen is a little similar but different. And I actually got to the third level of the game, which made me feel accomplished.
See, so we could do a lot more testing here to see if it really is that the game is better. And I think the game is more engaging than the others. But also, I got the impression that the fact that you'd played a similar game before, right, so there's less of a learning curve, and it was a game that you liked a lot.
Familiarity.
Yeah, that's
familiarity
a lot
to do with it. I have a theory, though, and I think that this little experience here completely confirms that theory.
Which is?
Which is, I really believe that, you know, competence at doing an activity has a lot to do with whether you feel like that activity is satisfying or not.
Yeah,
and I think that totally applies to video games. And a lot of people, I don't know, a lot of people discount this, right? But it's like, I think a lot of the enjoyment of a game, you know, pretty much most of it, unless you're just like fooling around and you really have no intention of doing anything whatsoever, right? Comes from the fact that like, well, you're trying to do something. And if the game, you know, gives you the right feedback and gives you the right tools to actually, you know, accomplished something, even though it's purely just internal and it's purely in game terms, and you're not doing anything real world, like that's satisfying. Well, and I think that's what motivates people to play games.
I think it's a general rule that people like doing what they're good at.
Yes.
Like,
well,
if
that's,
you're
that's
good
the
at football, you play football.
That's the short answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's fine. And I think that relates to this as well. But then the question in my mind and how it sort of relates to the industry right now is, how do you introduce non-video game players to games? And I bring it up because that's, you know, the major goal of Nintendo these days, is to open up the market to a lot of people who haven't been playing games before, possibly people who did play and don't play anymore, or people who never had, you know, grandma and Uncle Al or whatever, who don't play a lot of games. And so I introduced these games to Dara, and the only one that really caught her interest was the one that she'd already played, essentially, right?
Yep.
And I wonder if that means it would be difficult to introduce you to a new game. And so if I had the opportunity, I would show you Cooking Mama. This would be the next game.
That's not a game.
For the Wii, not for the DS.
It's a game.
It's not a game.
Dude, it's a game.
Move stuff around.
No. Flow is move stuff around.
No, listen,
Cooking Mama is a game.
I agree with both of you.
Game.
It's not a game. However, it's the type of game that they're trying to market.
Yeah.
No, it's new totally demographic. A game.
All right, so
does it involve cooking?
Yes.
No.
And that's all it involves. Simulation of cooking. And I was thinking the Wii version, not the Nintendo. We have one on here too that I can show you. But
to be honest, I think I'd rather see Castlevania.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Guitar Hero might be a good choice too.
Yeah.
But anyway,
there's another stereotype shattered on Chatterbox.
you chop up fish and you fry whatever
that's
and tells
terrible.
You what to do. It's really lame, but it's the sort of thing that has gotten Nintendo
money.
Money, yes, but they've become appealing to a whole new demographic, which is what's so interesting to me, because they really don't have a lot of good stuff on the Wii.
We're still trying to find that demographic. Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
And I'm Dara.
Yes. Yeah.
Fourth time's a charm.
So what were we talking about?
Well, I was talking not about UAT, but that's what I'm going to mention now. Like we always do.
Yes.
Segment four. Everybody go to uat.edu. It's the website for the University of Defense Technology, where you, too, can learn how to get into the game industry. So we were talking about introducing Dara to these games and seeing that her most positive reaction was to a game that she'd played before, or a game that was very similar to a game that she had played before.
And that's why they make sequels, by
yeah.
the way.
Yes. Well, I mean, I have no problem with this one. This is a great reintroduction to the series. It was great to bring it to the DS. It had been many, many years since we played a game like the original Super Mario Brothers. So there's no problem there, but Nintendo's trying to introduce people who never play games to games. Maybe I should have showed you Brain Age or Picross or something, which would also be like representative of the sort of games Nintendo's trying to throw down the throats of people who've never played before or haven't played games in a long time. And I'm just wondering, like, is that effort a good one? Are we going to be playing good games when we're introducing bad games like Cooking Mama to a new audience? And then better with rehashes of old games?
I think you're offending my sensibilities a little bit with that comment.
Why?
I mean, Cooking Mama, it's a simplistic game. It's very
bad.
Straightforward. It's a game indeed. But, I mean, like, it's simplistic, right? It's not like, for what it does, it's not bad.
Does it teach you how to cook better?
No, not at all. It's
now,
like
now that's not
cut
true
this
because
and
I
put
I,
it in
I learned all the ingredients in barbecue chicken or something.
It's all Japanese food, dude.
Yeah, it's chicken with barbecue sauce.
It broadens you know, your repertoire of
complicated.
All
I just thought
kinds
it was
of recipes.
I thought it was very interesting that your most positive reaction was to a game that you've already played before. So they are successfully introducing new style of games or different types of games to an audience that doesn't play games. Yet with you, it was kind of the reverse. Playing game, you liked the game that you already played before. And then, so are we only going to get rehashes? And this is going down the wrong road, because really you are very different than, I think, the audience that they're appealing to at this point.
I would say so. I mean, at least in my past, I was a pretty avid Nintendo player.
I think what you were trying to get at earlier was that I think you were asking, like, because Nintendo's trying to get a whole bunch of people who don't play games to play games, does that necessarily mean the games have to be crappy, right?
That's certainly part of it.
I don't think that those things are necessarily mutually exclusive, right? I mean, a lot of people talk about, like, oh, well, there's hardcore games and there's casual games, and they talk about it like, you know, they're just completely disjoint, but I don't think they have to be. In other words, I don't think that you have to, if you make something that appeals to a broader range of people, I don't think that necessarily makes the game worse. Or conversely, you know, if you make a game that has a lot of qualities, that have hardcore qualities, I don't think that necessarily negates a lot of people that are, you know, not
being. Well, no, and clearly there's going to be games that break the mold. Like Guitar Hero is very simplistic in game style.
Right.
But it, or in gameplay is what I meant to say, but it appeals to a huge audience.
Right.
And players who've been playing games for a long time and totally new players.
I actually wrote a research paper on this some time ago. And
Guitar Hero?
No, not Guitar Hero specifically, but this subject, Guitar Hero is simplistic on one level, but incredibly complex on another level.
I don't see where it's complex anywhere.
Are you kidding?
It gets difficult. That doesn't mean it's complex.
No. Well, it depends on... I mean, I don't want to get into a semantic discussion. It depends on what you're... But the patterns that come out on Expert are incredibly complex. The amount of, you know, finger work that you have to perform to do it right is incredibly complex. That's where the complexity lies, right? On the interface level, no, it's not complex. And like the exact opposite of something like that is like Metal Gear Solid, right?
Yeah.
Where on the interface level, it's like one of the most complex games in the world. But on the other hand, in terms of like what you're doing, right, it's actually very, very simple.
Hide in the box, smack the person, hide them in the shadow. That's Metal Gear Solid, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem so simple to me. There's a lot of different things that you do in that game.
Right, but think about this, right? Like everything that you do in that game, if you compare it to a time scale, right, as far as like, you know, well, what are you doing within a certain interval of time? You don't do a lot of things within a certain space of time. In fact, like there's no time pressure whatsoever in the game until you get found, in which case everybody starts floundering and then they start like pressing all the wrong buttons and the game just falls apart.
Well, I don't really think there are any games where you're doing five different things at once.
Right? Well, that's the point, right? I mean, you have to have complexity in one place or the other or kind of a little in both, but you can't have it totally in both. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain amount of, like, information that a human being can process at once, right? So the complexity is either in the interface, in which case, in game terms, there can't be a lot of complexity happening at once, or the complexity is in game terms is a lot like Guitar Hero and Expert, in which case the interface can't be too complex.
This discussion actually makes me think more and more about Portal again, because it's very, very, very simple in concept, but very complex in how it actually applies it,
mm-hmm.
at least in certain areas, not in the first one.
There you go.
I don't want to drag this conversation on until the end of the show, though.
No, we should do the other things we planned on doing.
Yeah, well, we've got like 2 minutes left, and we want to talk about emails. One thing, someone mentioned to us, hey, we were ragging on Team Fortress 2, and...
It still doesn't work.
Well, he was upset that we didn't mention it's actually good on the PC.
Okay.
And that's fair.
Good for them.
We neglected to mention that apparently it's not absolute crap on the PC. But we did, before the show started tonight, run the update, which is supposed to fix the network lag problems, and it did for a good while, and then all of a sudden, it became worse than it had ever become.
2 minutes is a good while.
Well, I got to, like, shoot some things for a while.
Yes.
And then, eventually, it became as bad as it ever was. So, apparently, whatever update they did is still absolute crap.
It almost works.
And I think it has to do with people joining the game and leaving, and they're just going to have to lock that down. But other games allow you to join live. Maybe that's why you can't do it in
games?
Halo 3.
Halo 3, you have to be in before the game starts.
I know. But I think that's why they lock it
in
games like that. But I know I've seen other games that let you join in live.
Like Gears of War, but it's capped at 8 players, 4-on-4. Apparently, Team Fortress works well, 4-on-4.
Really?
But when you get more than that is when it starts getting really bad, from what I've heard.
The game we were playing earlier today was 3-on-3.
Okay. So,
it was absolute junk. Anyway, that's not where... I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
So we did get a letter about that. But also, someone was upset about us talking about the PS3.
Is this going to be the e-thug of the week?
It is the e-thug of the week.
Ooh.
We really need a theme song. So if anyone wants to write a theme song for e-thug of the week,
I think Pen15 is the clear winner on that one. Makes me murder. All right. So someone was upset about how we were ragging on the PS3 last week and the PSP, actually. I don't know what he's complaining about too much, I guess, because we talk about them having no games.
I don't either, but...
He was playing the game of being literal. When we say there's no games,
we don't mean there's no games at all. There are some games. We just don't like any of them.
The PSP has a huge library of games
on
the wall that you could buy if you wanted to waste money.
Mm-hmm.
Although I like Loco Roco. That's one game.
Loco Roco's not bad. I haven't even played the Metal Gear Portable Ops, but I bet it's good.
Sure.
I don't know, but he's complaining about that. He was especially digging on you. You were too busy playing Hannah Montana while we were reading this, but very upset about you saying that the PS3 is crap, although apparently
it's
this listener doesn't realize that you were busy playing the PS2 at my house all week. So, anyway, we're going to be back next week, as always, and we'll be that much closer to playing Super Mario Galaxy, which comes out, I think, on the 12th or 13th of this month. So everyone get ready for that. Keep playing a lot of games. We'll be back next week. Anything else before we go? Thank you very much, Dara.
Good night, guys.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.